pulling the fur hood up over his tangled mane of curling black hair, trying to keep his face concealed. As he'd hoped, everyone was preoccupied with getting home before darkness closed in. They bustled along the muddied sidewalks, women dragging bawling children, old men and women clinging arm in arm, weighted down with loaded shopping baskets of provisions. Ryan checked his pocket, making sure he still had the handful of silver and copper coins. It had crossed his mind to leave the Sig Sauer with JB and risk being able to bluff his way through a stop search. If they found a blaster like that, then his meager cover was instantly blown. But on balance, he figured that his chances of passing a checkpoint were minimal. Without a handgun, they were a big zero. The streets buzzed with sec patrols, but they were obviously bored and tired, waiting for the end of their shift. The day was over, and the stalls of the raggle-taggle market were closing down. Ryan had timed it right. To his left, he saw the long descending flight of wide steps that he'd noticed on a previous wreck. A few feet away, near the top of the steps, was an elderly woman pushing a rickety baby carriage, with a red-faced baby nearly buried under a heap of dried, crusted turnips. The woman was deep in conversation with another old woman, wearing round-rimmed glasses. A group of sec men were lounging on the steps near the bottom, their blasters resting against their knees. It was precisely the scene that Ryan had hoped to find. He went straight to the nearest stall, which sold smoked and preserved meats of all kinds, piled in a variety of plastic tubs that looked as if they'd been around since Skydark. The man in charge was a cripple who hopped around on a pair of crutches, already beginning to scoop up the contents of the tubs and pour them into larger bins. He looked up as Ryan approached him, not even bothering with a smile or a word of greeting. Ryan pointed at his own mouth and then to his ears, hoping this simple mime would indicate he was a deaf mute. He pointed to what he thought looked like strips of jerky, cupping his hands together to try to show the sort of quantity he wanted. The Russian looked at him suspiciously, and Ryan felt his own fingers itching for the butt of his P-226. To his dismay, his ruse had worked too well. The stallholder believed him hard of hearing. Ryan shrugged his shoulders, aware that he was already becoming the subject of some interest. The Russian tried again, this time rubbing thumb and forefinger together. That was a gesture that Ryan recognized, and he hastily held out his hand with the money. This time he received a grudging nod from the man. One thing Ryan hadn't thought about was bringing something to carry the food. He took the handful of dried meat and shoved it into one of his coat pockets. Ignoring the stallholder's attempt to convey how much he owed, he simply held out the money and allowed the man to pick what he wanted, knowing from the foxy grin that he was being robbed blind. As long as a few coins were left, he didn't mind. There wasn't much that he could do about it. He turned on his heel and moved away, walking toward the top of the steps, eager to finish his shopping and get away from the watching eyes. Ryan quickened his pace. When a hand tugged at his sleeve, he glanced down, expecting to see a beggar. Instead, he was confronted by a skinny girl of about 13, backed by a dozen more children of similar age. All wore red berets with a single silver circle. Ryan's stomach tightened with an unfamiliar feeling of fear. He realized it wasn't the same gang that they'd watched a few days earlier butchering the limping man in the suburban side street. But they came from the same mold, pinched faces and glowing, excited eyes, chapped lips and red tongues that kept flicking out like lizards. The whole body language of the junior wolf pack was taut with the desire to maim and to kill.
Это он! Смотрите, это он!
The girl held Ryan by the arm and stared intently up into his face. She gestured for him to throw back the hood. Ryan hadn't the least doubt that the sec forces would have circulated his description throughout the ville. Any one-eyed man would be suspect, and once they had him... The two women by the carriage had stopped their chattering to look across at him. Ryan saw in the veiled eyes the certainty that he was dead. The whole marketplace seemed frozen. All conversations had ceased, and the small groups gathered in the dusk watched the drama of the stranger and the children in silence. Ryan guessed that the sec men would also be beginning to show some interest in what was happening at the top of the steps. The girl tugged at him harder, surprising Ryan with the vicious strength of her ragged nailed fingers. He looked down at her, seeing nothing in her sluttish blank eyes, nothing but a smoldering excitement, sure that she'd picked right. The frozen second of time was followed by 30 seconds of desperately frenetic activity. Ryan half turned and pulled the girl closer to himself, partly shielding what he was doing from the rest of the pack. He drew the Sig Sauer and pressed the muzzle into the girl's neck, close under the angle of the jaw. She felt the touch of cold metal and started to recoil from it. With the built-in silencer and with the end of the barrel jammed into the teenager's throat, the explosion of the blaster was no louder than a muffled belch. The girl's body jerked as though she'd been kicked. The 9mm bullet tore out the back of her neck and exited at a slight angle, hitting a metal lamp support and whistling off the cobbles. It eventually struck one of the women by the carriage in the fleshy part of her thigh. She fell over, knocking the brake off the carriage and allowing it to roll slowly toward the top of the steps. Ryan pushed the dying girl away from him. As she fell limply to the stones, a small part of Ryan's brain registered what fell from her open hand. A short length of narrow, stained rope with a knot at each end.
Murderous bitch.
As soon as he moved away from her body, everyone saw the pistol, and all hell broke loose. The Sig Sauer P226 carried 15 rounds. Good quality 9mm bullets were hard to obtain in the Deathlands, and Ryan normally tried to use them sparingly. But not this time. He sent everyone around, diving for cover. Four of the shots killed members of the gang of young killers. One took out a stall holder, who popped up holding a wire-bound scatter gun. The sixth round killed a sec guard who'd been walking near the top of the steps. The woman with the leg wound grabbed at the skirts of her elderly friend, preventing the woman from snatching the chrome handle of the carriage, which rolled to the brink of the wide stone steps. It paused a moment at the edge. Eight rounds remained in the heavy blaster. Someone threw a large green cooking apple at Ryan. The aim was good, but it dealt him a glancing blow on the left arm. He looked sideways and saw the thrower staring at him, mouth open to cheer his own skill. Ryan shot him through the open mouth, the bullet striking the young man's mother, who was hiding behind him. One round, chilling two. Seven rounds left. The revving engine caught his attention, and he spun around to see a small open wag roaring toward him, weaving between the abandoned stalls. A sec man hung onto the passenger seat, trying to balance and aim a Kalashnikov rifle. Ryan paused, steadying his right wrist with his left hand. The windshield of the wag starred into diamond splinters. The second shot plucked the uniformed sec man out of his seat and threw him onto the cobbles behind the lurching, reeling wag. Ryan didn't wait to see the vehicle finally crash. Five rounds remained. Though he cleared the area immediately around him, Ryan had hardly moved from where the girl had snared him. It was way past time to get his legs working. The market square held at least 100 Russians, and beyond them lay the tangled web of small streets and alleys. Normally, Ryan would have tried for that, but the odds were too high against him to risk being trapped and run down. The only other alternative was down the stairs. As he sprinted toward them, the unwounded elderly woman tried to snatch at his legs, but he clubbed her across the ear with his pistol, smashing her glasses into her eyes. Five bullets were left in the gun. He had another couple of mags in his capacious pockets, but to stop and reload would be fatal. The carriage began to bounce and jolt down the steps. The load of turnips skittered out at every stair. The sec patrol on the stairs had been alerted and had formed a line across the steps, rifles ready, prepared to tackle the solitary intruder. The toppling carriage appearing over the dark skyline threw them into some confusion. One or two men began to ready themselves to try to catch it, while others tried to stand firm and ignore it. Ryan, gun drawn, saw the confused tableau and decided instantly to charge through. He was so far committed that retreat